We end today's Fresh Air with news that we wish hadn't happened. Journalist Randy Schiltz has died as a result of AIDS. He was 42. He made his mark with his writing and with the way he lived his life. Schiltz was the first out-of-the-closet gay journalist to work at a daily paper. He was a reporter, then a columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. His groundbreaking books covered gay issues. The Mayor of Castro Street was about the assassinated San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk. And The Band Played On is considered the definitive history of the early years of the AIDS epidemic. Schiltz's last book, Conduct Unbecoming, was published at the peak of the controversy over gays in the military. Schiltz found out he was HIV positive in 1985, but he didn't talk publicly about his health until last year when he started getting sick. We remember Randy Schiltz with an excerpt of an interview recorded in 1990, just after he'd covered the 6th annual AIDS conference. After that, he decided it was time to stop writing about AIDS.
I remember when I wrote my first story about AIDS in 1982, we got the majority of surviving AIDS patients in San Francisco in one living room, and I interviewed them. If you could, now you'd need Candlestick Park to get your surviving AIDS patients from San Francisco. I mean, it's, you know, it's changed so much. The story is very different in how vast it is. You know, when I first covered it, it meant going down to Castro Street. But within a couple of years ago, I was going to Uganda and certainly spending a lot of time in Washington figuring out how the government was responding. So much has changed in terms of the scope of the problem and, you know, the thousands and tens of thousands of people who are now working on it. What's depressing about it, or I should say what's angering about it, is how, in a very profound way, the basic storyline has not changed at all. That the story of AIDS remains a story of a huge problem and a response to it, which is not even remotely commensurate to the scope of the problem. And that continues to be the story.
You were, to my knowledge, the first openly gay journalist who was writing about AIDS and was affiliated full-time with a newspaper. And then you went on to become the most famous journalist who was writing full time about AIDS, and you were openly gay. So I remember when your book and The Band Played On came out, your book about AIDS, you were on this really big media tour. And when I saw you, I think you were bracing yourself for like every radio and television interviewer to say, "So tell me, do you test HIV positive?" I'm sure you got asked that a lot, and I want to know how you dealt with it. If you thought, you know, assuming that you thought it was really like not relevant to the story.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what was the way of telling people no? I mean, telling people that you didn't want to answer that. Yeah.
My basic way of is I feel that the only people who have a right to ask me that question are people going to bed with me. And so usually the people who asked me that question were guys. They were always, men would ask if I were. So I say, well, you know, you have a right to know if you're going to bed with me. So is that a question or a proposition? It's sort of like when somebody asked me if this came up in some of the early interviews, they'd make a comment about, so you're practicing homosexual. And I always felt, well, after all these years, I really stopped practicing and I'm just perfect at it now.
Oh, one-liners can really come in handy.
Yeah, they always work.
So was there a kind of like last straw for you that made you say, okay, I'm going to do it, I'm going to stop writing about AIDS? I bet it's something you had really thought about for a while, but you finally reached the point where you said, okay, I'm going to do it.
It's funny because intellectually I never got burned out. It is an exciting story. I mean, it's very interesting. It's very sad, but it's very interesting as to watch, especially having covered it from the very beginning and watching it all unfold as an international historic event. But, I mean, it was really with me. It was never a conscious thought. It was just I started having horrible nightmares, and every night it'd be HIV nightmares and just horrible things. And then so when I went back, I took some time off, and I've been both of my books are in development as movies, so I was in L.A. for a while, and I came back to San Francisco to cover the conference. The first night I was back at the Chronicle, I got a headache that lasted 18 days until I was done with the conference. And so sort of my body telling me things. It's just a level of intense burnout that I think a lot of people get with this and who have to deal with this disease all the time.
Randy Schiltz recorded in 1990. Now we have an excerpt of the final interview we recorded together in 1993. I'd like to ask you something about what I imagine was a really big change for you when you were young. I recently found out in reading all these recent articles that have come out about you that you were the president and founder of your local chapter of Young Americans for Freedom, which is a very conservative group.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what you were like as a young conservative.
Well, you know, I grew up in Aurora, Illinois, which was at that time extremely conservative part of the country. They had not elected or voted for a Democrat since like in over 100 years. And and so that was sort of the ideas that I was exposed to. And then also I did what a lot of, I think, people do when they're in junior high and high school, and I read a lot of Ayn Rand, which still has an impact on me in that I'm a very strong individualist. But the I think that influenced my thinking in a very conservative direction. And I think that's been real good. I mean, I'm not that conservative anymore. But I think with people on both ends of the political extreme, either the left or the right, there's a tendency to dehumanize the people with whom they disagree. And I feel real grateful that I had the opportunity to be exposed to a lot of very conservative people, because you can see that they, you know, most of them are just like people on the left, where they sincerely believe that what they're doing is right. They're not evil people. They're not malicious. They just, you know, they just have different points of view. So I think it was very helpful for me as a journalist, because it let me see the importance of being fair and being balanced in coverage.
How are you dividing your time and energy between trying to really take care of yourself and not push too hard, between that and the journalist impulse to keep pushing to meet that deadline, to keep driving yourself as hard as possible?
This is a matter of great discussion between myself and my lover and my friends, because I'm basically a workaholic. Coming from the Midwest, I think I have that Protestant work ethic, and I have a real hard time slowing down. And basically, I think I made the decision several years ago that, you know, I could just sit around and sip cappuccino and coffee shops here in San Francisco, and perhaps live longer. But I'd rather, you know, have the life that I have be meaningful, and I find my meaning in through my work. And so I'm probably going to keep on pushing.
Journalist Randy Schultz died last night at the age of 42 as a result of AIDS. I'm Terry Gross.